Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, will those who are saved be few? What a question. And a question asked to Jesus in our gospel today by some person that is around him, wanting to know. Not asked by a disciple, and he is unknown who this person is. And yet, this question that is asked is probably one that has flickered through our own minds at some time. Lord, will those who are saved be few? We might think about it in our walk through life, when we're in church, maybe at the grave site visiting a deceased relative, maybe thinking, will I be one of those who are saved? Few, many, will I be among them? But how does Jesus answer this question? Does he say, of course, there will be many who will be saved? Does he give a number, a statistic? 5 million, no more, no less. Or just let you know, about 20% of all of those who live will be saved. There is no statistic that comes forth from Jesus' lips. Instead, he answers with an invitation and a warning. Strive to enter through the narrow door. In other words, stop worrying about how many and worry about how you enter. What a simple image. A narrow doorway, perhaps leading into a house. Only one person can come at a time. And once the door shuts, it's too late. And why is this door narrow? It's not to keep out people with extra large figures. But it is also not to say, it's not to imply that God is stingy with his grace. It's not to imply that he only wants a few inside. It's not a club of only the most elite who get in. There's not a bouncer at the door saying, sorry, this is only for the most elite people only. The door is narrow because there's only one way in. And the door is Christ himself. Jesus says in John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. This is what we know to be true. Jesus tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well known to us. The door is narrow, because it is Christ and by Christ alone that we might enter. We can't squeeze through saying, well, I've been a good enough person. We can't squeeze through on our own righteousness or pride or maybe on some excuses. The door won't let us through if that's all we have. Jesus warns us, once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock, saying, Lord, open to us. He will answer to you, I do not know you or where you come from. That is a chilling phrase to be said, to have God not recognize you. And the true horror here is the people think that they belong. The people there are confused. They answer out, Jesus, we ate with you. We heard you teach in the streets. But they never trusted him. They didn't know him. They knew about him, but they did not know him by faith. This is a warning to us. Being around Jesus isn't enough. Simply having heard of Jesus isn't enough. Sitting in church isn't enough. Coming from a line of Christian families on both sides isn't enough. Jesus isn't asking you to just brush shoulders with him. He asks you to cling to him as his Savior. I have seen and heard the many excuses that people have that have this mindset of simply, I'm a member of this church, or my father helped build this church. And they think that that is enough. I knew one of my pastor friends, when he was assigned to a new church, he was chatting with the elders, the head elder, and he asked him, how do you know that you were saved? And the elder said, let me show you. And he takes them outside and he shows them the graveyard adjacent to the church. The pastor's expecting this great and awesome testament of faith. Like, look, these here dead, they believed in Christ as do I, and the resurrection that comes by him only. Instead he said, for you see that grave there? There is buried my grandfather, and there my father, and this plot is here for me. This is how I know I am saved, because I am a part of this church. No saying I am saved by Christ, no saying that I am a poor, miserable sinner and Jesus has come for me, but rather because I am a part of this place, because I will be buried here. That is what makes me saved. To be a fly on the wall for that conversation with the pastor and that head elder. But with all of this comes a great reversal. Some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. That is, the kingdom of God overturns our expectations. Outsiders welcomed in, insiders left out. The respectable turned away, but the broken and the humble are lifted up. This is exactly what Isaiah was talking about earlier. God says in Isaiah 66, I'm coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. How shocking would that have been to hear as a member of Israel in that time? They think, we're the chosen kingdom, we're the chosen people. They were God's nation. But God says, I will send saviors to the farthest coastlands, to those who have never heard my name, and they shall declare my glory to the nations. And then the most shocking statement. From then also, I will take priests and Levites. But priests and Levites, they were supposed to come from the tribe of Israel, specifically from the Levites. That's where the priests came from. But now God says, I will raise up priests from the Gentiles. That's us, outsiders. We who have no claim of blood, and yet God gathers us into his kingdom through Christ. It's amazing to think about this very morning. As we sit here in prayer and worship, Christians gather from all over the world to worship, from Africa to Asia to Europe, South America, and right here in North America. They might have different cultures, they have different languages, but they are all drawn to the narrow door through Christ and Christ alone. Unfortunately, the world doesn't like this idea of Christ as the narrow door, sometimes seeing it as exclusive or intolerant. But if you look again, the door is narrow, but the feast on the other side is wide. People from north, south, east, and west will sit at the same table at the kingdom of God. We trail back to our other reading, to the book of Hebrews. It gives us a glimpse of what this looks like. We are not at Mount Sinai, that place of fear and thunder, lightning and smoke. where even Moses trembled. But in Christ, we have come to the foot of the mountain, to the city of the living God. And by faith, you belong to that assembly, to the church of the firstborn in heaven. And some days you may not feel it. You may feel weak, overburdened, sinful, weighed down, and unworthy. But faith does not depend on how you feel. For faith rests on what Christ has done. Today, brothers and sisters in Christ, heed the warning that comes from the narrow door. That is, that don't take the kingdom for granted. Don't assume you're just inside just because you've heard of Jesus or know someone or married to someone who believes in him. But also understand that it is a great invitation, that the door is open today. The absolution that comes from Christ through his body and his blood is yours here at the altar. Be encouraged. Returning to our question that was asked to Jesus, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Jesus doesn't give us a number. Instead, he gives us himself, the narrow door. And though the door is narrow, it is open wide for you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever.